Good morning, everyone. It's cool outside. It's nice, refreshing. All right, I have two things. The youth, if you walk out and go to the right, you will see that we have a youth job bulletin. And so our youth has a lot of summer events coming up, and they need some money, and they need to earn their money. Youth, children, earn your money. And so one of the ways is spring cleaning is coming, and I have some spring cleaning I need done, and I'm hoping I'm going to get somebody else to do it for me. So how you get a youth or offer a job, piece of paper, I put mine on index cards. You can see I already have two up there. You just put your name, your contact number, the job you need them to do, and the time frame. So one of mine, I need a sitter next Monday all day, and that's time framed. It's all day next Monday I need. And then the other one is baseboard cleaning and dusting. Loathe it. So I need a youth to come do it for me, but it can be done at any time on any day, so it's very negotiable. So I put that up there. So I have a couple examples, and I hope I have some youth that will take me up on my job offers. And so they will contact you about the job, and you guys can negotiate further whatever you need to take care of. That's one. Number two, tomorrow is our community outreach meal. And I want to just 1 Peter 4:8-11 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And there's, I stop there. So we are called to be servants, and so that is what our goal is tomorrow, is to serve those who are coming tomorrow from the community. If you are serving, you are not eating. You're coming to serve. I just want to clear that. You can come eat on Wednesday. I'm going to feed you. Samantha and I are going to feed you again on Wednesday. Well, we're going to feed you on Wednesday. Similar meal. So you're not missing out. You're just a couple of days later, all right? And my volunteers, I would say be here about 5:30. And let me get, there will be no evening service today. And don't forget, on Thursday, Singing Men of South Texas will be here. Thursday, February 17th at 7 p.m. And there will be a love offering taken. And read your bulletin. Dum, dum, dum. Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lisa, for those announcements. I want to thank you for praying for your pastor and his wife during our COVID time. There are a lot of folks in our congregation have been through some illnesses and loss of life and also the virus. And so keep praying for one another. And for those of you that have done extras and brought meals and such, we are grateful. And we thank you for such care for us. We're on the upside, and Laura's doing much better than your pastor. I still have some little residual headaches that come and go. So just keep praying for that. Hope it's not real long term, because with the headaches, I can't read. And when I can't read, I can't study. And so that's a detriment. So pray for me to get over these headaches. And this morning we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for the Lord to move in our midst. And so let's bow together as we begin our time of worship. Father, we look to you this morning. We acknowledge that you are our God, and reminded again this morning, Father, that you're a God, and you're distinct from all other possible gods because you're creator. You're the only one who made everything that we know and are. And we pray, Father, that you would be exalted this morning, that your spirit would stir up within us a desire to adore you and to praise you and to give thanks to you for all that we have experienced as a result of knowing you through Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, for his death and his resurrection, and all that was made, making our salvation possible through his work of faithfulness. Lord God, we come to celebrate that today. We thank you for forgiveness of sin, for life eternal, and the assurance of that. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive us where we have fallen, where we have strayed, where we have walked our own path from time to time. Lord God, I pray that you move us to where you want us to be and help us to grow into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, as we worship this morning, we desire to hear from you and see you. And so we pray, Lord God, that you make that so clear this morning by your Spirit's movement. And Lord God, may we be receptive and experience that joy to your glory. As we pray it in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. I don't know about y'all. I'm glad that our brother is back here with us this morning. Give an amen to that. Amen. It's okay. We're all asleep. I understand. But church, I want to begin. We're going to sing a new song this morning. Some of y'all like that. Some of y'all don't like that. I'm sorry if you don't like it. But we're going to do it. But before we do, I want to remind us of what the psalmist says in Psalm 57, verse 10. He says, "For thy loving kindness is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the skies." And now I don't usually read a version that says thy, but most of the other versions that we have now, it translates loving kindness into steadfast love, which they mean the same thing, but there's just something rich about the word loving kindness. And that's what we're going to be singing about in this new song. And I was just made known this morning that Joe taught y'all about this on Wednesday, loving kindness. But I want to just give us a little reminder of what that is as we prepare to sing it. You know, and I promise, I know tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I did not plan this, you know, to talk about love and then tomorrow being Valentine's Day, I promise. But the loving kindness, it's a character trait of our God, but it's not just something we describe him as, like, oh well, he's loving. It's part of who he is. He is loving kindness, and this isn't the kind of love that we think about where it's Valentine's Day rolls around and we think about, oh, I need to tell that person I love them. No, this is an ongoing. It is a constant action happening. It is pouring out, overflowing from our God in heaven constantly. This loving kindness manifests itself through Christ descending from heaven to dwell with us, to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death that we deserved, and to overcome the grave that we might have life and salvation in him. It's the love that remains with us, that whenever we're in doubt, when we're anxious, he relieves those things. All of these things that we sing about regularly and we know about the Lord, they can all be drawn back to his loving kindness, that he is loving kindness. And I think that's important for us to be reminded of. And so I hope you're reminded of it this morning. And as we learn this new song, I'm going to sing the chorus for us. It's going to take us a couple weeks to get into, and I think that'll be okay. But I'm going to sing this chorus, and then I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to sing it together, and then we're going to sing the whole song together. So the chorus is going to go like this.
How great is your loving kindness, O God of goodness. How joyful forever to sing the glad refrain of grace that saved us, of sweet forgiveness. Oh, how great is your loving kindness.
So if you'll stand with me now and just give it your best as we sing this chorus together, and then we're going to sing the whole song. Sing, how great.
How great is your loving kindness, O God of goodness. Our joy forever to sing the glad refrain of grace that saved us, of sweet forgiveness. Oh, how great is your loving kindness.
Amen. Let's sing this together.
praises now, wake the dawn. That praises now, awake the dawn. We'll greet your mercy with a song. Your people stand and sing for all your loving kindness. You carried us in faithfulness upon the paths of righteousness. Your gracious King, you've crowned us with your loving kindness. How great is your loving kindness, O God of goodness, our joy forever. To sing the glad refrain of grace that saved us, of sweet forgiveness. Oh, how great is your loving kindness.
He lifts us with the Father's hand.
You lift us with a Father's hand. You shelter us with your commands. What heart could fully comprehend? Your mercy's endless. You lead us through the shadows deep, where doubts trace every step it seems. But as the darkness breaks, we'll see the morning promise. How great is your loving kindness, O God of goodness, our joy forever. To sing the glad refrain of grace that saved us, of sweet forgiveness. Oh, how great is your loving kindness.
Life laid down to rescue us.
Life laid down to rescue us. With arms outstretched upon the cross, the greatest gift there ever was of loving kindness. A life laid down to rescue us, with arms outstretched upon the cross, the greatest gift there ever was of loving kindness. Your loving kindness. How great is your loving kindness, O God of goodness, our joy forever. To sing the glad refrain of grace that saved us, of sweet forgiveness. Oh, how great is your love, O God. How great is your loving kindness, O God of goodness, our joy forever. To sing the glad refrain of grace that saved us, of sweet forgiveness. Oh, how great is your loving kindness.
Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, that you made that known to us, that you've given us even just an inkling of understanding of what that means. Lord, we cannot even begin to fathom the fullness of who you are, but you've given us understanding and knowledge of the things we need. Lord, you are the God and the creator of all things. But as David said, like, who am I, God, that you would care to know me? Who are we But Lord, out of the overflow of your love for us, which again is a mystery as to why you would, after all of our failure, the fact that we are born in rebellion against you, you have loved us. And it's not a past tense. You are continuously loving us. You loved us before we even were. And you will continue on through eternity to love your children as the greatest father that there could ever be, as a constant savior and friend. And Lord, we thank you for that this morning, that there is nothing in us that has accomplished this, but it is all in you. So, Lord, as we continue in worship through singing your praise, would you remind us of these things? Would you be glorified this morning? We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat it, not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat it, not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sign. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
Thank you, Father. Thank you for your glorious presence. Thank you for giving your Son to return us, to rejoin, to reconcile us back to yourself. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, that we might know God's perspective. Thank you for this time of opportunity to return a portion of all the things that you've blessed us, because it all belongs to you. We recognize everything comes from your hands, and we praise you and glorify you, but also to return a portion. Thank you that we have this location to gather together, to encourage one another, and lift up your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Jesus, find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, brings its seed.
Before you, because you are great, great in mercy, great in goodness. Your loving kindness is eternally steadfast to us, your children. O Lamb of God, our ransom. O Good Shepherd, guide us, hold us. Spirit, open our hearts and minds to your word. We pray, dear God, that you will move and work mightily through Brother Jackson, dear God, today. Save a soul. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'm sorry that you have to see me again today, but glad that Brother Robert's at least up and about and prayerfully, maybe be back here next Sunday, but I'm encouraging him not to rush that. So I hope that you will continue to pray for he and Laura. I want you to look with me in the Bible today at something that has been a study that was prompted to me through the sermon that I watched a friend of mine preach, and I'm going to say something about that at the end of this message, a statement that he made that I just can't get, and thankfully, I cannot get it out of my mind. I cannot get it out of my heart. But it prompted in me a study at looking at in Scripture when people, or have people, kind of gave that away, didn't I? But have people asked God why? And so I went through all the times the word why is in Scripture, and you have to narrow it down in different ways, but you find that there are times when people directly ask God why. And it boils down even a little more to basically three questions, we'll put it that way. And so there are three questions that we're going to look at in Scripture today of when people that you're very familiar with ask God why, and what is God's response? And let me just tell you, it's perfectly fine to ask God why about something. And we're going to see it in Scripture from people that did. The issue, though, is that his response may surprise you. So first of all, turn to Exodus chapter 3, question number 1. Exodus chapter 3. And question number 1 is essentially, why have you given this promise with no answer? God, why did you make this promise with no answer? Now, if you're a little bit familiar with this part of the Bible, you know that when I say Exodus chapter 3, you're thinking Moses and the burning bush, and you would be right. Not to take up the time to summarize Moses and all that, but remember he was, you know, raised in the palace of the Pharaoh, but then ran away because they were out to get him for something he did, and he's in the wilderness, and then he's taking care of his father-in-law's flocks, and he comes to the burning bush, and that's where we pick up and find this promise. God is saying to him, I'm ready to deliver the people, so I want you to go back to Egypt and do that. So in chapter 3, just to make it brief, look with me in chapter 3, verse 8. Here's the promise. God says to him, "So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." So here's the result. And you remember what Moses goes through in going back and forth with God about him not being the right guy, and God saying, "Yes, you are," and back and forth it goes. And then finally God says, "Well, get your brother Aaron, and he'll go with you." And so they make their appointment with the Pharaoh, and they go in and they talk to him. Look in chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. "And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness.' But Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let Israel go.'" Now here's the result. Not only does he not let the people go, but if you remember, he now increases their workload. They were making bricks for him to build his kingdom, and the Egyptians would bring them straw to mix in with the mud to make the bricks. And Pharaoh says, "You know what? Not only am I don't know your Lord, and I'm not going to let your people go, but I tell you what, go find your own straw." And he increases the workload, and now the people are upset, and they even begin to complain to Moses because they were on board. Moses went to them first and said, "The Lord has said he's going to deliver you," and they're like, "Yay!" And now the workload is increased, and now they're mad at Moses as well. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 22. "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me?'" God, you said you're ready to deliver your people. God, you said that I was to go to Pharaoh. You said that I was to tell Pharaoh, let the people go, and you were going to deliver them, and you haven't delivered them. And in fact, things are worse now. Chapter 6, the first part of verse 1 is very important to the statement that I'm going to make at the end of the message. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh.'" But remember, it's all the way until chapter 11 before there's any deliverance. And we don't know how long that took. It was a long period of time. But see, our struggle today, I guess it's kind of like Moses was it. Our struggle today is that we live in an immediate society. We are used to having things delivered immediately. Make a phone call, the person picks up the line. Send a text message, they respond. Send an email, they respond. I mean, you can order something online, have it delivered the next day. Some places where you live, you can even order groceries that way now and have them delivered to your house. I mean, it's just immediate. We expect that today. Well, that's what Moses was expecting. God, I did what you said. I told Pharaoh what you said, let the people go. You didn't let them go. What God was doing, was in the midst of doing, was introducing himself as God Almighty to the Egyptians. And in a sense, reintroducing himself to the Hebrews, that he indeed was their God. Now, there's another great study in the midst of all this that I would just encourage you to look into someday. Find you a good biblical resource and study the plagues that took place. Look at chapter 12 of Exodus. Chapter 12, verse 12. Getting ready for that final Passover, the miracle, the plague that was going to take place. And verse 12 says, God says, "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast." Here it is. "And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." You see, all of the plagues dealt with the gods of Egypt. All of the plagues were against something that the Egyptians worshipped. And so it was essentially this cosmic battle of God showing himself as God Almighty in a battle against the gods that the Egyptians worshipped and that the Hebrews understood because they were living in the land. Now, think about this question. Maybe the question is better posed in the why question. Why is it taking so long? Because we know God delivered them, right? But why is it, you gave a promise. Why is it taking so long for the promise to be fulfilled? Question number two. God, why have you left us all alone? Turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 6. The story or the account of Gideon. Now, the situation was this. At this point in time in the land of Israel, the Midianites were like these marauding bands. They were like gangs. And they would storm across the border, groups of them, and they would pillage and rob and, you know, steal and take stuff. And so the Israelites lived in fear of them constantly, because during harvest time is when these gangs would rush over the border and steal the crops as they were being harvested and run back across the border. Now, that's what's going on in this situation. So in Judges chapter 6, we have this great question. God, why have you left us all alone? And within that, there's this other question. Why have we heard about all these good things you've done, but we aren't experiencing them now? We aren't seeing them now. You ever think that one? You look around the situation of what's going on in life? So here we have Gideon in Judges chapter 6, and starting in verse 11. "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon." Now, this is one of those times where I always like to say to people, when you're reading the Bible, don't read it too quickly. This is one of those times when you have to read slowly and pick up on things. "As his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites." So immediately your mindset says, wait a minute, those two things don't go together. See, in those days, when they had vineyards, most of the time they had walls built around, rock walls built around their vineyards. And in the corner of the vineyard was another rock enclosed area, rock where the wine vat was, where they would bring all the grapes into this place to stomp them out to make their wine, right? So why do you have wheat in there? So the situation is that Gideon, fearful, paranoid, anxious, worried, is gathered up enough wheat for his family to make a meal, and he's now snuck into the vineyard, down into the corner of the vineyard, into the wine press area, and he's beating out enough wheat to provide food for a meal for his family. Why? He's hiding because he knows the Midianites are close by and probably watching, and he's got to be able to get this food together in order to feed his family. Why have you... Verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." I love this. This is the kind of thing where I'm thinking to myself, at this point, Gideon kind of goes, you're talking to me. Is there somebody else here? Do you not get the picture of where I'm at? Verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." God, why have you left us all alone? Why am I here in the midst of my situation all alone? You ever feel that way? God, why am I not seeing you do great things for me like I've read about and like I've heard about in other people's lives? It's a legitimate question. Question number three. Why is this bad stuff happening to me? Now, we looked at this one last week. 2 Corinthians, back in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul. Why is this bad stuff happening to me? It's that old thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, we've all been there, right? Why is this bad stuff happening to me? And talked about this last Sunday. Didn't know I was going to be here again this Sunday, so, you know, but we'll review. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, remember I mentioned this last week, God had allowed Paul to see into the glories of heaven. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Lord, why do I have to go through this? Lord, look what I'm doing for you. Look at all the work I've been doing and how I'm serving you. Why is this bad thing happening to me that won't go away? You won't take it away. Here's what I find so helpful in looking at these people in Scripture and how God responded to them. Because what we see, get this now, listen. What we see is that God never gives them an explanation or a direct answer to their why question. Go back and look at it. God never gives them an explanation or a direct answer to their question of why. I mean, he does with Moses, sort of. He does say, we read that there, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh," right? And in chapter 12, verse 12, he tells them about dealing with the gods of Egypt. But in a way, that's not a direct answer to Moses' question. Moses' question was, why did you send me? And why did you not let the people go? Why didn't you deliver them? When, I mean, I made the appointment. I talked to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was supposed to say, okay, y'all, see you later. It didn't happen. The word got harder for them. All right, here it is. The two responses that I see from God in each of these three questions is essentially this. Without really God saying it, is essentially this. God says, "Trust me." Or he says, "Obey me. Do something." He doesn't answer them directly. None of them. None of them. See, with Moses, it was, "Trust me." God was at work. God was in the process of introducing himself, of making himself known to the people. But in doing so, he had a plan to work out. See, Moses, like us, expected an immediate answer. Deliver the people from what they're going through. I went to Pharaoh. I told Pharaoh what you said, so deliver them. It took seven more chapters before they walked out of Egypt. And also with Moses, God said, was basically saying, "Obey me. Do something. Speak to Pharaoh." Being the instrument through which the plagues were going to be displayed. Instructing the people about the Passover. God said, "Serve me, obey me, do something, and trust me." With Gideon, it was also, obey me. Obey me. Go do something. Because right after that statement that Gideon makes to the angel of the Lord, he says, go now in this your strength. He never addressed, why haven't we seen any miracles? Why has God left us all alone? He simply says, go. Do something. Put together an army, he says. And even at that, it's quite a strange way to assemble them and then reduce the army from 32,000 is what it begins with. And if you find that in chapter 7, verse 3, and then verses 6 and 7. He started with 32,000 men. God said, too many. When would any military advisor ever say, we got too many guys. We don't yet. God whittled them down from 32,000 to 300. Notice, though, again, God never addressed Gideon's original question of why have we been left alone? Why are we not seeing any miracles? God never addresses that with him. God tells him to do something. And then with Paul, the Apostle Paul, it was, trust me. With Paul, it was God saying to him, I will provide for you, not remove your difficulty. Looked at that last week. Not remove your difficulty, but provide for you in your difficulty. In the midst of our trusting and our obeying God, he does a work in us and through us, such a work that it overrides any detailed explanation that he could have given to the original question. And so the resulting actions of what he does can and should build our faith and so our trust in him, for no matter what comes next or what we're going through at the present time, we would all love to have the explanation to the why question, wouldn't we? Well, we would love that, but sometimes that answer wouldn't help. The two responses we may get from the Lord when we ask him why something is going the way it is or not going the way we wish it was, trust me, obey me. Now, here's the statement that my pastor friend, Jeff Shreve, he's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We went to junior high and high school together, graduated together. I was watching him in a sermon he was preaching back in August of last year about Moses, and he made this statement that I'm grateful that I cannot get away from. He said this, God is more concerned with timing than he is with time. Now think about that for a minute. We're caught up in the moment in time. God deliver. God answer now. But God is more concerned with timing. In that regard. See, there was a timing element for what God was doing in delivering the people out of Egypt. There was a timing element necessary for Gideon to see his deliverance. There was a timing factor for Paul to understand God's grace to be sufficient for the plan and the purpose he still had in Paul. And there is a timing to God's plan with you and me as well. We may not be able to see it. Like I said last week, just because we can't see him at work doesn't mean he's not working. And understand, trusting him, there's a timing process to what God is doing. Think about these verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. You think about that. From the time that Isaiah made his great prophecy in chapter 7 of his book about the virgin will be with child and bear a son and you shall call his name Emmanuel. From that, 700 years. And you know through all of that time and all of the problems and all the hassles, the people were wondering, where is this promise of Messiah? There was a timing element involved. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. Here's a great one. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has been crucified, buried, he's resurrected, he's appeared to a lot of people. Now he's meeting with his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time? Don't you love that? Lord, is now the moment? Is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Lord, is today the day you're going to boot the Romans out of power and take over and be king? Is now the moment? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. He didn't answer their question either. Jesus didn't even answer the disciples' question, why? Well, why, you know, is it now? Why haven't it come? Because in the moment, you're going to have power. Don't worry about the other side of that. God, he's in control. His timing is what is important. Jeff Shreve, one of the other things Jeff Shreve says, that there's this ancient word in the Old Testament for the name, a name of God, and it's Jehovah Nick of Time. That's a joke. That's not real. Don't try to find that in a resource. But isn't he? He always delivers. He always shows up. He always comes through. You may be in that mode of questioning, why is this happening to me? Why have I seen this promise, God, from you and you haven't delivered on it yet? Why have you left me all alone? And the truth is, he hasn't. He hasn't. But he may have a timing element involved in what's going on in your life right now. And what he wants you to do is trust him, and he wants you to obey him. There may be something God wants you to do. And we've got to get to a point where we're okay if we don't get a specific answer to our why. Moses didn't. Gideon didn't. Paul didn't. They got answers, but not to their why question. And they saw God do miracles in the midst of what they were dealing with. It may be the same with us. Trust him. Obey him. Because he's trustworthy. And he always comes through right in the nick of time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and how it explains so many things to us. Maybe not in ways that we're looking for, but you do give answers. You've promised, we saw it in Scripture last week, you've promised you would never leave us. You'd never turn your back on us. So as we at times struggle through situations in our lives and wonder why, draw us back to these men of faith and how you dealt with them and led them and helped them, and understand you're the same God today as you were yesterday, and you will be tomorrow, and we can trust you. And you desire for us to obey you, to do something. So help us listen for that. Help us look for that in the midst of my struggle with why, to grow in my faith trusting you, and to look for where you want me to go and what you want me to do and how you want me to serve. So, Father, I pray this morning, someone in this room right now may be struggling, wondering why something is going on or something is not happening yet. Lord, I pray you would encourage them by what we've seen in your word today. That they're not alone. They're not the first ones to ask why. That it's okay. You can handle the why question. But maybe you're wanting us to look in a different direction in the midst of it. So I pray that you would remind that person today how much you love them, and that you are involved, that you are at work, and that it may not be in this very moment, but something's coming. And so God, I pray that you would help us to see your glory in the midst of what we go through. And Father, I pray if there's a need this morning that needs to be dealt with and addressed, that as we have this brief time of invitation, Brother Robert's going to be here at the front, ready to meet whoever might need to come. Maybe just for prayer. Maybe something has just really come up, and they're in need of that counsel and wisdom that you would give through their pastor. And Lord, I pray, help us to respond in obedience to you. Help us that we would trust you in the moment. And for that, I thank you, and for that, I praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let's stand together. Brother Alec, they lead us. This song, Brother Robert's here to greet you. You need to come. I encourage you to come. Allow God to do in your life what you need to have done and what only He can do in these moments.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee.
Thank you, folks. Be seated for just a moment. We do have one coming to join us by membership, Miss Viola Mendiola, and I'll have her standing here in a moment at the conclusion of the service, so you can come down and welcome her. She was baptized, she said, in this church at the age of 14. How many years ago? 56? 66 years ago. I have to be careful with that, you folks understand. 66 years ago, and she has served as a pastor's wife 40 years, and then been at the mission for 20 years and continues to play the piano there and to be with them, but she wants to make her home here, to come back, and wants to move her letter here. And so she will be here at the end of the service. We will be voting on that in our next church conference on next Sunday evening. So be mindful of that. Come by when the service is concluded and greet her. Allow me to pray with you at this time. Remember, no evening service tonight. There is a deacon meeting this afternoon, so be in prayer for the deacons as they gather together, and then for your church family as we continue to serve Him in various ways this week. Don't forget tomorrow night's ministry opportunity. Be with us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled before you this morning and thank you for the privilege to be in your house, to meet together with your people. I thank you for this servant that you sent our way again today. Brother Walter, and Lord, I ask that you minister to he and Lisa and to bless their home and their family. I pray, thanking you for the seed that he has cast this morning by your leading. And I pray, Father, that we would hold on to that and that we would trust you and find ourselves obeying you even as we wait for you to accomplish your purposes in our midst. Lord God, we entrust to you many concerns and needs, cares that are upon the hearts of many in this place. And we thank you, Father, that you are always faithful to accomplish those things in your timing. And Lord God, help us to just trust you in that. And Father, to be strengthened by you and to declare you faithfully every opportunity you give us. Now, Father, we pray as we depart this place and go to our separate areas to serve, to study your word, that, Lord God, you would be with us. And thank you for that promise in Christ. It's in his name we pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Be sure to come up and say hello to Miss Viola, and I'll see you in the hallway on your way out. God bless.
Amen. Well, church, as we end our time together, let's stand together and sing the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen, church. Come on down and welcome Miss Viola as we go on to Sunday school.